Numbers chapter 16. And one of the things that takes place here is the fact that God is showing himself mighty, and he has a way of doing new things. You know that? He doesn't have to do, in fact, it's interesting, I mentioned in Sunday school how he gets people's attention. But God can do whatever he needs to do to get your attention. I mentioned the handwriting on the wall for that, how he got Belshazzar's attention. I mentioned the fact that he got Moses' attention with a burning bush. He got Paul's attention with a light, bright light on the road to Damascus. He even got Nebuchadnezzar's attention several times. One in chapter 3 of Daniel with a fourth man in the fire who was Jesus. And if you've got a Bible that says a son of the gods, you need to get a real Bible. Because it wasn't a son of the gods, it was the Son of God, the Lord Jesus himself, that was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that's why they liked staying in the fire. Did you realize, if you read that story, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time there, I could spend a while there. But Nebuchadnezzar had to call them to get out of the fire, because they weren't in a hurry to get out of the fire. You say, why not? Jesus was there. I want to tell you something. That's a special time when the Lord shows up. And he showed up in a special way for those guys because they stood right the way they should have stood. Anyway, here we see God getting people's attention. He gets the entire nation's attention. Some people show up and they're saying, Moses, you're nothing special. We're all holy people. Now, I want to tell you, if you know a little bit about the background of Moses, you'll know that Moses argued with the Lord so much so that it got the Lord angry at him because he was trying to get out of being the leader of the Israelites. If you want to read it, Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Verse 14 in chapter 4 tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, because Moses started using excuses. He said, Lord, you want me to do what? Go to Pharaoh. Tell him to let my people go. Pharaoh's not going to listen to me. I don't care. You go. And he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. He thought, man, I got him now. I can't talk good. I've used that one, by the way. It didn't work for me any more than it did for Moses, amen? But the Lord said, who made man's mouth? Now, some of us might say, well, I can't speak well to people, and I, when I get in a crowd, I get nervous. Hey, join the club. You say, you still get nervous? Absolutely. And the bigger the crowd, the bigger the greater I am nervous. But the truth is, Moses said, I can't do it. Then the Lord said, I made your mouth. I know you can do it. Because I made it just the way I wanted it to be. Then Moses thought he had him and said, well, I've used up all my other excuses. Lord, just send somebody else. That's when the Lord got mad. You see, if it had been up to Moses, he would have run just like Jonah did. But the Lord was in his face. He said, you're not going anywhere. And he showed him the signs, where his hand turned leprous, and he threw down the rod, and it turned to a serpent. And that was where Moses started. But if you go through the signs that he gave to convince Pharaoh, talk about getting people's attention, he got Egypt's attention through all the signs, all the plagues. But here at this particular point, Moses is standing and he's the leader of the people. He is God's chosen man. That's what I've entitled this message, God's man and God's plan. And the people come up to Moses and they're saying, you've got too much authority. Let's stand in honor of the word of God. I want to bring out some things here that'll help us, I believe. It sure has helped me. Starting with verse 1 in chapter 16 of Numbers. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, we ask you to do something special in our service today. Lord, there's some lessons here for all of us that will help our life be sweeter, less painful, if we learn these simple lessons. Lord, I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, we ask you to bless and move in a special way. Lord, we need your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please take the freedom that you need to make the changes that you want in each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If you look at this particular passage, you see that these people are actually coming against Moses, and they're saying, you're in charge, but you think you're special. Now, I want to tell you, I didn't choose to be a pastor, okay? I ran long enough. I tried to do what I could for the Lord. I was in the ministry. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a deacon. I taught children's choir. I was a soul winner, going soul winner training, training soul winners. But the Lord wouldn't let me alone about pastoring. But I didn't choose it for me. And the danger of in what's going on here is the fact that these people are coming against Moses. Moses was the man of God. He was chosen by God. He was chosen to do a work. And what they're trying to do at this juncture is the fact that they are trying to not undermine Moses, but undermine God's plan. See, they think they're just coming against Moses. Oh, no. Somebody more important than Moses put him in place. Somebody more important than Brian put me in place. And we have to be careful because, hey, I'm no different. I'm no more special than you are. I'm just laying it out. The office I hold is special, but I'm not special. But the truth is, I try to do the right thing. I try to do what's right to, hey, you guys deserve a pastor that's trying to live right, that's trying to move right, to trying to set an example for you, that's trying to do it, and it's hard. It's hard enough just living a godly life. But to have a church looking at you, having people out in the Wherever you go, whether it be on the bus or at the shopping center or the restaurant or whatever, people looking at you knowing you're a pastor. There are things that I wouldn't do that you do, simply because I'm trying to set a high standard, and that's the key. These men were coming against Moses, and they said, "We think you've put yourself in this position. We're going to take you down." What did Moses do? He didn't argue with them. He fell on his face because he knew that they had already set off an action that they weren't going to be able to live with. And what happened was Moses said, "Okay, this is what's going to happen." Look at what it says in verse 16. "And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." And then he says, look at verse 19. "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them to the door, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation." And then what did Moses do? Look at verse 20 and 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." You think the Lord's upset? All he's saying, the Lord's saying, "All I'm going to do is I want you and Aaron go over here. I'm going to take care of everybody. I'm going to wipe out everybody. I'm going to consume the whole congregation." I want you to know something. It's important who you hang around. It's important. If you hang around the wrong people and God strikes them with lightning, you might get the overflash. It might bounce over from them to onto you. They might get hit by a truck and you might be right there with them. God may make them mad, just like these people. And God says, "I'm going to take care of it." Now, you think he doesn't do that? I'm going to tell you, it happens. By the way, you want to find just the opposite of where somebody is blessed by being with the right person. Acts chapter 27 and 28. All the people on the ship, even though the ship was wrecked, caught up in a almost like a hurricane, the Euroclydon there in the Mediterranean, and it broke up the ship, and all 276 passengers survived the shipwreck because there was somebody on board, a guy named the Apostle Paul, who prayed for them all. And the Lord said, "I'm going to deliver all of them." And I believe he did it for Paul's sake, to answer Paul's prayer. It matters who you're with. You're with the right people, it'll help you. You're with the wrong people, it'll hurt you. I still remember the preacher that said, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." And that's the way it is. Be careful who you hang with. You'd be better off to be by yourself than with the wrong people. And what happened, the Lord said, "Get away from them." And the Lord Moses argued and said, "Lord, let me do this." So down in verse 26, he says, "And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin." Moses said, guess what? They're on this side. You better get over here. On the other side, you better get away from them. As far away as you can from them. Give yourself some distance from wicked people. And then he goes on to say, look at verse 28. It says, and Moses said, hereby shall ye know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. I'm going to stop there in just a second. I want you to think about what God had already done for the children of Israel. All the 10 plagues, he turned it, there was a thick darkness. The sand and dust turned to fleas, was plaguing the Egyptians. Frogs, they couldn't walk, they couldn't get in their bed without frogs being there. One preacher said when they get up in the bed and go to the bathroom to brush their teeth, you go squish, 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 every step of the way. There's frogs in their house. Go to brush their teeth, they have to get the frog off the toothbrush. God had done some marvelous things. Then he told them to put the blood on the doorpost and the mantle, or the lintel. And he said, what you do is make sure that you take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. Because if you don't, the firstborn in every household will die. And they saw it. They heard the cries. They heard the screaming of the homes that had lost loved ones. Some of them might have lost two or three because the parents might be firstborn and the firstborn child. What you see is, they had watched all this take place. But now they're coming to a point and saying, Moses, they weren't there when God parted the Red Sea. They were there and saw the fire on the mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments. And here they're saying Moses took this on himself. There are times when God moves, does something special. I'm going to tell you right up front, you could not prove to me that God did not lead Brother Aaron and I yesterday. I'm not going to say it happens every week. We try to go every week, but I can tell you that was absolutely out of my realm of even of options for yesterday. But he put us right where he wanted us. And there are times when he does things like that for you and for me. And what he does is he wants us to do things his way. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's what he wants to do. So what happened? Look at verse 29 and 30. It says, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. I want to encourage you, anytime you see the phrase provoke the Lord, put a star beside it in your Bible, because that's an area you don't want to even get close to. These men were actually coming against Moses. I've seen that happen, by the way. I've seen deacons that actually got together at church on a Sunday morning early to pray to get the pastor out of the way. I've seen that. The pastor did lead. But I don't want to die like those men did. Some of the toughest diseases you can imagine. And I want you to understand, hey, there, God does things His way. And He wants us to go along with Him. And if you don't go along with Him, that's fine. Just stay out of the way. But don't try to interrupt His plan, which is like what these men did. And look what happens. And it says, and the earth opened her mouth. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto them, unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Think about that. This was an earthquake or a sinkhole, but every sinkhole I've ever heard of doesn't close itself back up. But this one did. See, there's a statement there in 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. When God has ordained somebody, when God has given somebody authority, I don't care whether it's a police officer, I don't care whether it's a president, I don't care whether it's a mayor or a pastor or a teacher in a classroom, especially for a parent. When we rebel against that authority, it's, as far as God's concerned, it's open Satan worship. That's what he says. It's as the sin of witchcraft. That's what witchcraft is. It's worshiping the devil. And these men went down where? Alive into the pit. They went alive to hell. And look at what it says. Verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. For they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. You'd think they're going to lose their, they're going to learn their lesson, right? You would think. But no, look at what it says in 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord.
They must really think that Moses has a lot of power to cause the ground to open up like that and to close back up. And just, I want you to get this, just in that area where his opposition was, didn't swallow up anybody else. But now, these morons, I'm going to go ahead and say it like it is, we got a bunch of them in our country anyway, these morons haven't seen that God is still in charge. And they haven't learned their lesson. God's in charge. He can do what He wants to do. Can I give you a good tip? Not about races, okay? Not about a football game. Stay close to the Lord and don't make Him mad.
Life goes better that way. The closer you can be there, be with Him, the better your life will go.
Right.
And if you cross the line with somebody that He has given authority to, count on Him punishing you. It's going to happen for you. It's going to happen for me. It's going to happen for the president. It's going to happen for the Pope. It don't matter who they are. God's got a plan, and you best not try to mess it up. I used to have a plan sometimes when we were getting ready to go to church or going on a trip or something. I'd have the kids, well, you got to do this, you got that done, you got this done. And I'll go off and do what I need to get done and come back and they hadn't done nothing. My plan was for you to get this done. You've done messed my plan up. Now I've got to help you do this, watch you do this, because I've still got other things I've got to do. It didn't go good. Amen. They wanted something they didn't get because Daddy wasn't as accommodating as he would have been if they had done what they were supposed to do when they were supposed to do it without Daddy standing over them with a belt. Well, that's politically incorrect. Hey, guess what? That's the way it was. But God has a plan.
I've argued with the Lord a few times as far as, Lord, I can't pastor. He said, I know that, but I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to do it with you. And I know the verse, John 15:5, Jesus says, without me ye can do nothing, but also Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So if he's going to do it with me, I can do this thing. You can do whatever he wants you to do only because he's going to help you do it, because without him you can't do anything anyway. You can't even keep your heartbeat. But this has helped me. This lesson that we've learned today, that we've studied today, has helped me because I've seen pastors go the wrong way. My pastor sometimes, at churches I've been a part of, has gone the wrong way sometimes. But you know what it's not my job to do? To put pressure on him to leave. In fact, I was a Sunday school director, or Sunday school teacher, at one church where I was assistant pastor. And the pastor entrusted to me his adult Sunday school class. And I kind of felt like at one point, I'm not saying that was the way it was, but I felt like they were starting to look to me instead of looking to the pastor. And I told them, and one of the statements I made to them, and it kind of cleared things up, I said, if you guys ever go to trying to follow me and not the pastor, I will quietly disappear. Okay? The pastor is the one in charge. And that's the way it ought to be. Not because the pastor's special. Get that right now, because the pastor is just a man. But the truth is, God has put the man in a special position. And I've got shot at. I've got stabbed in the back. I've got lied on. A lot more as a pastor than I ever would have as a church member. I'm not saying it's happened here. Because I'll be honest with you. I still think I've got the sweetest church in the country. Maybe in the world. Amen. But I have been a part of churches that would lie. And I told the church the other day about a woman in a little church in Stark that was running at me. I don't know whether she was going to belly butt me or head butt me or what she was going to do, but she was running at me. If it hadn't been for her husband and daughter, they were coming at me. She was coming at me. And Sharon will vouch for that.
I've had a lot of bad things happen, but the Lord's taking care of it. But what I want to do, what I want you to learn from this, if you get an issue with me, let's talk it over. Just me and thee. Okay? But don't go having the preacher for lunch. Okay? Because that's going to get the Lord upset. And if it gets to a point where you can't, you don't want to come to this church, you don't get fed, feel like you're being fed in Bible Baptist Church, the best thing for you to do is quietly leave and find a church that you can worship the Lord at. Because if you take issue with me and I'm trying to do like Moses did and do it right, you're not going to bother me as much as you're going to bother the Lord. And I'm not saying that anything here would ever come across from this congregation. But you guys probably know people in situations that are in churches that are not really the best situation. Encourage them not to have the preacher for lunch. Okay? Have the chicken. Amen? The most important thing is I want us to grow. I want it to continue to be a sweet church. I want us to see God's hand move. Because there are still more kids out there and more adults out there that need Jesus. And if we don't have a soul winning station here in Bartow that's reaching Now Crest and Lake Wales and Lakeland and Winter Haven and Fort Meade and Mulberry and all around, what's going to happen to the people that need Jesus? There may be somebody here today. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. The most important thing right now is to get that settled. You don't know that you'll wake up in the morning. So what we need to do is to make sure. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Get it settled. Jesus died for you. And he rose again to prove who he said he was. Don't hold it back. If he's leading you to make a decision, now's the time. The altar's open. All you got to do is come forward. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If you need somebody to show you from the Bible how to know for sure you're going to heaven, I can do that as well. All you have to do is come forward. Nobody will laugh at you. Nobody will poke fun at you. Everybody will be praying for you. All you have to do is take one step out of the aisle, and you'll have 2 or 3 dozen people praying for you. But you got to step out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. We love you. We thank you for this lesson. Lord, it's a tough lesson sometimes to teach. How this group of people, how they rebelled against the man of God. How they went down alive to hell. But Lord, it's true. Lord, we ask you to do something special. If there's a decision that needs to be made here during the invitation, Lord, don't let it go by without them making that decision. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.